Somebody used to say it like that on TV. I can't remember who it was. Say, good morning! So, and it is a great morning. I don't even mind it that it's not as warm as I like it when at least the sun is out. It just makes you feel better. I had frost at my house. Yes. But we're going to have a nice week. It's going to be back in the 70s this week. So, anyways, it's good to be here. It's always good to be able to study together God's Word. And we're going to look at the two men that Paul entrusted his ministry to as he's ready to die. And by using these two men, we're going to see that God's able to use different personalities. Because the lesson today is going to be to show how they are two different people as far as personality. One is very timid and shy, more introverted, and the other is very outgoing, okay? And that would be Titus, okay? Much stronger. And he may have been more physically intimidating, I don't know that, even in his personality. But Paul was able to entrust this work because they were still both dependable, both reliable. He had confidence in both of them, but one needed more encouragement. So when we're looking at God's Word to see that, don't just think that Titus' letter is just an extension of Timothy. They do say the same thing, but they are very different in the letter that he writes to Titus than what he does in the two letters he writes to Timothy. So we're going to look at that. And Paul and God is able to use young men. And an example of that is that in the line of the prophets, who is the first prophet? What? Well, who's the first? Samuel. Exactly. So let's look at what Samuel says as a very young man. So let's look at 1 Samuel 3:10. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and verse 10. Now remember, Samuel was a very, very young boy, but God's going to use him mightily. And he's a child in the sense that he's called in verse 1. And the child Samuel, look in verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Eli was the priest, of course. But now look at 10. Look what Samuel said, which is very important for us to understand, and which the world should understand. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, and this is the key, speak, for thy servant heareth. That's all very important in all the men that God chooses, and even in what's going on today. We should always look at, and how does God speak today? Well, he speaks through his word. He did not speak as he spoke to Samuel here audibly, but he speaks through his word to us, and to all of us, of course, who are members of the body of Christ, and also those who are going to teach. So that's the key as we're looking today. Think of those words, speak for thy servant. And that's what it's all about. So when Paul is instructing his two men, he's giving the word of God to them that was revealed to him. And he uses himself as the example, and especially to Timothy. But now let's also look in the Gospels, as Christ is going to call out certain men. And what's interesting about this passage, go to Luke chapter 6. And I want you to look at verses 12 and 13, please. Luke chapter 6, 12 and 13. And it came to pass in those days, talking about Christ, that he went out into the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. So there's many. Remember, there were 70. And so, and notice the next thing. And of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. So there's two different descriptions of people there. Disciples and apostles. And they are different. A disciple is a follower. An apostle is a sent one. A disciple listens. An apostle speaks. A disciple learns. An apostle is a teacher. So think of that. So he had all these disciples who were followers, who were listening to Christ's word, and who were learning. But then he's going to choose 12 there who are going to actually go out, and he's going to send them. They're going to be the ones that sent one. They're going to be the teachers. They're going to be the ones who speak. So he chose 12. And what's so interesting about these 12, we're not going to go into it too elaborately, but just to understand, they were very different. Peter is the speaker of the 12, and he's very outgoing. And he's going to be very robust and go out there. Remember, he said about when the Lord said he's going to die, that's not going to happen, Lord. I'll make sure that doesn't happen. Of course, he denied the Lord 3 times. But Peter was also the one who what? Drew the what? Sword. Okay. So Peter, even though he was the speaker, we also know that he put his foot in his mouth a lot of times, didn't he? But he would be the first to speak, and I think they probably the other disciples said, Peter, sometimes I wish you would think before you speak, okay? You're too quick. But then we had others, okay, of that 12. Andrew, his brother, was very backward. You don't hear a lot about him. But they're the first two that he chose, Peter and Andrew. But then, am I hearing something? Oh, okay. But then when we look at James and John, who are actually wonderful men, but they were concerned about themselves, weren't they? Do you remember? What were they concerned about? Who's going to? Yeah. Lord, we'd like to know where we are. Are we going to be the ones sitting right beside you? So you see the different characters. And then, of course, one of the 12 becomes a traitor, doesn't he? And Judas. But then the wonderful thing, there's two men that were not actually chosen immediately, but two men that, who were very faithful and followed the Lord in his ministry from the time of John the Baptist all the way until he was ascended up into heaven. And one of those two men get chosen to replace Judas. And who was that? Matthias. There were two men there. So it's very interesting that there are so many different personalities that God is able to use, and he did that with the 12. Well, this is the case with Timothy and with Titus. And we're going to see that not only in the two letters that he writes to them, but in the letters he writes to others concerning them. So let's look at that very carefully. So look at Romans 16:21. The first time that you see Timothy being mentioned, well, he's in the book of Acts, but I'm talking about in Paul's epistles. So in Romans 16:21, we're going to see some similarities, and then we're going to see some differences. So in Romans chapter 16, and verse 21, notice what he calls Timothy. We're only interested in the first part of this passage for the lesson we're teaching here. Timothy, my work fellow. So that's the first thing you hear about him, that he's a work. He's a fellow laborer with Paul. And Timothy goes with him in many missions. And even in the letter he writes to the Thessalonians, he mentions Timothy and Silvanus as when he writes those letters. So the first thing we understand, Timothy is a work fellow. Well, let's look at something else. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And I'm not going to read the whole two passages because it's important, because I'm going to come back to this later to show a difference between Timothy and Titus, the two young men that he's going to entrust this ministry to. So, but just look at the last part of verse 16 of, of verse 10 of chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. Talking about Timothy, because we know that from the first part. Now if Timothy, but let's look at the last part. For he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. So very clearly he says now he's a fellow worker. He's a work fellow. And very clearly Paul says he's working the work of the Lord, which I also do. And remember, Paul is always our pattern. Paul is always our example. So very clearly you see that connection between there. And notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2 what he says about Timothy. First Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2. And it's talking about, and sent Timotheus, here he's called Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. So here he's called a brother and a minister of God and our fellow laborer, before he says a work fellow here. So very clearly in what? In the gospel. And what is it all about? I love the ending of this. To establish you, he's telling the Thessalonians, and to comfort you concerning your faith. So the two things he says that Timothy's doing that Paul also did, he's a brother, he's a minister of God, he's a fellow laborer, and his mission is to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith of what you have in Christ. So very clearly you can see that Timothy has a special relationship with Paul. Here he's called a brother. In other passages, he's called, my words are not coming out. I apologize. I know, it was like, it's time for a commercial, okay? When they get in trouble on TV, it's time for a commercial. We'll come back. He's also called his son in the faith. That's what I could get out, so I do apologize. Thank you for understanding. So he's a brother here, but he's also called a son in the faith. He does the same thing with Titus. In passages, he calls him a brother. In other passages, he calls him a son. So very clearly, though, you can see how important Timothy is to Paul, how much he loves Timothy as a young man. And the same thing is true when it talks about Titus. But there are also some differences when he talks about Titus. So let's look at it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians and look at how he talks about similarities, but also differences when he talks about Titus. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we're going to look at 16 and 17 and verse 23. Now here's the second person he's going to entrust his ministry to, these two young men. And it's interesting, I don't know if I have an answer for this, but it's also interesting that, remember, Barnabas was with him, Cyrus is with him, but he doesn't write any special letters to those two. He leaves his ministry to two young men, Timothy and Titus. I'm putting you two in charge of what I have started as I'm ready to die. So I think that it's just interesting to see that. I don't know if I'd answer why, but it's definitely true that he doesn't write any letters to those two men individually. So let's look at 16 and 17. I love how Paul's always being thankful. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. The same earnest care would be the care that who else? That Paul put in them. So I love the way that's stated there. Which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. Let's continue. For indeed he accepted the exhortation. But being, now this is the key of the difference between Timothy and Titus. But being more what? Forward. So you can see that Titus, in a sense, is very similar to what Peter and why Peter was the speaker of the 12 under that ministry that was presented to Israel, the kingdom, that earthly kingdom that Israel was promised. So here he says he's being more of his own, I love this, of his own accord, he went unto you. Wow. So it seems like Titus is a person that takes action. Okay? There's always different people, some of you that are in business, that are just going, boom, okay? I don't need any encouragement, I'll do it. Then there's others, probably, that they have to call them in their office and sort of encourage them. Okay, you can do it. You can be a little more forward. You can go out there and do that, whether it's selling or whatever you may be doing. But now look in 23, as he continues to talk about Titus. Whether any do inquire of Titus, now notice the description he has of him now. He is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. Or our brethren be inquired of. They are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. What an interesting statement that is. Wow. I love the last part. They are the messengers of the church and the glory of Christ. So the messengers that go out there and give that message is what it's all about. If we do that, we're also put in that position, that there. But I love how he's my partner, he's my fellow helper, they're the messengers of the churches, and they're the glory of Christ. So there's a special position that they are put on at that time. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And look, and this I really love. He says something also to Titus that he never says to Timothy in verse 18. I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Now notice this, the connection that Paul has with Titus. And he's sort of, this is he's very upset. If we'd read this whole passage, he's upset with things that are going on in Corinth. There's definitely, and Paul uses back a few verses, and that may help us to understand. Let's go back to 14. Behold, the third time I'm ready to come unto you, and I will not be burdensome to you, but I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Paul has a way sometimes of really being able to put some people down. And he does that very clearly. It's like a coach who will put down. I know from coaching, you have to treat different people different. Some people that I coach, you had to be always encouraging. You could not say anything negative to them. There's others you could get right in their face and tell them. I was sort of one. The coach could get in my face and just, and he would get me encouraged by saying, you better do it now. I'm tired of what, you know, what's going on. So the difference in men, but and Paul says, I love you the less I be loved. But let's continue. But be it so, I did not burden you, nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with gall. So it's definitely a negative thing he's talking about with the Corinthians. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? Now here's the key of why this next verse is so important. I desired Titus, not Timothy. Timothy's a little timid. Timothy's a little shy. He wants somebody who's more robust, who's more outgoing. And he said, I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? But now notice how he connects the two of them here. Walked we not in the same steps? Talking about Titus and him. Walked we not in the same steps? He said, we did. Titus and I walk connected the same way, in the same steps and in the same spirit. And that's the confidence he had in Titus. When you look at these two men, let's look at it like in a military way. There's a general, and they're going into battle, and he has two different units that he's going to send out. In one, he has a major in charge. To me, that would be Titus. And the other, he has a first lieutenant. That's Timothy. And he's going to send two different groups out here into battle. With the one that Titus, who's the major, he doesn't have to encourage him. He's been in battle many times. Go and do it. Okay? No problem. With Timothy, as the first lieutenant, the general would probably call him in. Say, this is your first command. Okay? It's not going to be easy. I'm going to give you very specific instructions here because you've actually led men into battle. So when I look at these two men, both very confident, he still has confidence in that first lieutenant, but he's got to encourage him. It's the first time he's going to be sent out. With Titus, you've been in many battles. And I love that. I desired Titus. We walk in the same spirit, and we walk in the same steps. And it's so interesting when you look at God's word, how Paul called both these young men, and both of them did remain faithful in doctrine to the end. But even when you get to 1 Timothy and Titus and 2 Timothy, you'll see a difference in the way he talks to these two men, even though he's very confident in both. And why I didn't use that one passage, let's go back to 2 Corinthians, or actually to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And I did not do the whole verse for a reason, because I'm going to compare these two men here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 10 and 11. And remember, I only gave you the last part there. He worketh the work of the Lord. So, but notice now the difference. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and Timothy is going to come unto them. And notice what he says and wants the Corinthians to do. Now, if Timotheus come, verse 10, see that he may be with you. What's the next two words? Without fear. Paul's a little concerned, okay? And he wants to tell them certain things. He says, he's going to come in. I don't want it to be with fear. I don't want Timothy to be intimidated. Let's continue. He worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. But now notice again what he tells the Corinthians. Let no man therefore do what? Despise him. Wow, that's interesting. But conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. So very clearly he's telling the Corinthians, this young man is very youthful. He's a little timid. And I don't want anybody and you women to get upset with this, please. But let's tell a truth here. Timothy was raised without a father, wasn't he? He was raised with a mother and a grandmother. And I congratulate you because it's the mothers who give most of the love. At least it used to be. Now I'm glad that it's both. When I was a young man, I don't remember ever getting a hug from my dad. Not ever. Mom was the one that gave that. Dad was the one. Wait till Dad gets home. Okay? Well, Mom, can't you punish me? Well, go to your room, but when Dad comes home, he'll take care of this situation. So I think that is probably a reason why I would think that Timothy, because raised by just a mother and a grandmother without, would be a little more tenderhearted, which is good, and kind and considerate, but he would not be that robust. So I think Titus might have been raised where he had a very disciplined father, a very tough father. Just my connection. I can't show all this, but it is true that Timothy was raised only by his mother and his grandmother. So let's read that 11 again. Therefore, let no man therefore despise him. Please, I'm telling you, Corinthians, but conduct him forth in peace. I don't want any confrontation here. That he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. So that's what he writes to the Corinthians about Timotheus, or Timothy. But let's look at the difference in Paul, when he talks about Titus, I love this. In Titus chapter, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I'm going to start in verse 13. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort. Yea, and exceeding the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. So I love that, that he said, you did refresh Titus. So he's giving the Corinthians a compliment, but let's continue. For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed. Wow. So Paul says, the things I've said about Timothy boasting, I'm not ashamed of that. But as we speak all things to you in truth, he and Titus, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. But I love the next verse. Remember now when it was Timothy, he says, I don't want Timothy to come and be in fear. I want there to be peace to Timothy so that he can, because Timothy was sent with a very specific person to teach them about doctrine. Titus also did that, but Titus was sent back to the Corinthians for a lot of practical reasons, of things that they weren't doing practically in life that they should have been done as a believer. So notice the next verse. And his inward affection is more abundant towards you, whilst he remembereth the obedience of you all, and I love the last part, how with what? He received him. A little difference, isn't it? He's telling them, I don't want Timothy to be in fear. I want there to be peace, but with Titus, he says, I'm sending him back here for a lot of practical reasons, and I sent him back here that you were going to be in fear and trembling when you received him. So Titus had that personality that was very outgoing, very robust. He also could have been very more intimidating physically. I don't know about that, more than Timothy was. But I love the statement here, the difference in these two men. And he does have confidence, and that's why I think the letters of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and Titus are similar in some ways, but also very different in the way he talks to Timothy as he leaves the ministry to die, and the way he talks to Titus. So very clearly, you can see that difference. He says, I desired Titus. We walk in the same spirit, and we walk in the same steps. And when I sent him to you, I sent him that he was going to fear and trembling in you. When I sent Timothy, I don't want Timothy to be in fear. I don't want Timothy. I want you to have peace with him when he comes, because he's going to teach you important doctrines. And Timothy did that. He taught the same wonderful doctrines that Paul had taught him in his ministry. So when you look at these two men, you can see that how he uses them. So now, in light of that, let's look at the differences as he ends his life when he talks to these two men. And like I said, don't look at Titus as just an extension of the letters to Timothy. They are different in many ways. And let's look at that. So let's go to the last part of 1 Timothy chapter 6. And notice how he ends that first letter to Timothy in verse 20 and 21. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. So he says, O Timothy. That's interesting. The way he said, O Timothy, it's like he's exaggerating the first part of that sentence. Keep that what's in it. But now when he gets to 2 Timothy, why I say there's a difference in the way he deals with Titus and the way he deals with Timothy is three times he has to emphasize something to Timothy. So again, being a little more timid, I think he has total confidence in Timothy, but he wants to build him up. And he builds him up by telling him three important times here about the message and how the message that he received from Christ, I'm giving to you, Timothy. The message that I received from Christ, I'm giving to you, Titus. But there's a difference. So let's look at the first time. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, and these are verses we used before, and he says to Timothy in verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou have heard of faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now, he says it once, and he's going to say something to Titus once, but with Timothy, he's going to say it three different times. And let's look at that. In chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he's going to repeat himself. And he tells Timothy he wants him to be strong. Notice this. He doesn't say that to Titus. Verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. So now a second time he says, those things you've heard of me, Timothy, I want you to teach others. But he says, I need you to be strong in the faith. And why is that important? Because go back to chapter 1 in verses 7 and 8 of how he again, I think, is telling Timothy, I need to encourage you. Because look at verses 7 and 8 of chapter 1. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, he tells Timothy. So again, it's almost like knowing Timothy's personality, he has to emphasize that, but of power and of love and of the same mind. Now he continues, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, he's telling Timothy, nor of me his prisoner. But now he tells Timothy what he wants him to do. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So again, he's got to encourage Timothy. He hasn't given us the spirit of fear, he's telling Timothy, but of power and of love and a sound mind. But there's an emphasis there that it seems like he has to keep encouraging Timothy as this young man who is very youthful and not to be ashamed. But now we saw two times, but now, so in chapter 1, he tells them that about standing fast. Chapter 2. Chapter 3, he repeats it again. And he repeats it in a sense that he realizes what's going to happen to the church, starting in verse 12 of chapter 3. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, he's telling Timothy. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we talked about that last week. Why that's so interesting, the way that's stated. These people are not only going to deceive who are evil workers, they're going to be deceived themselves, which means they believe the lie they're teaching is the truth. And there's many in the pulpits today doing it. They absolutely believe what the prosperity teachers, those who are trying to take us back to Pentecost, or those who want to put us back under the law of Moses, that Paul tells us we're not under. But now, so for the third time, he tells Timothy the same thing. But that little conjunction of contrast that I'm always talking about. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So for the third time, he tells Timothy. In chapter 1, he told him, Timothy, hold fast the form of sound word. Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me, teach others. Timothy, continue on things which thou have learned and who they learn from Paul. So three times in three different chapters, he already told them once. It seems like, again, encouragement. I'm just giving you my thoughts, so please. Not necessarily God's thoughts or Paul's thoughts or Tracy, just mine. It seems like encouragement is a key with Timothy. But when you get to Titus in that thing, it's totally different. That's why I said it's not just an extension, as some people, I've heard somebody say, a letter to Titus just an extension of those that he gave to Timothy. No, that's not true, because there's a total difference when he speaks to Titus. And notice how only one time he'll say something, and he doesn't say it in the same way. Look at verse 9 of chapter 1. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. talking about Titus, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. So he's again saying why Titus has been taught that is for a very specific reason. He knows Titus, I want you to go out there and to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. And I said once before, if you want to know what a gainsayer is, and I had to look it up because I didn't know myself, okay? It's one who contradicts what God says in his word. And for us, it would be what God says in his word, rightly divided. So he says, Titus, I need you to go out there and I need you to exhort this principle and to the gainsayers at this time. But the difference is, notice how he talks to Titus in such a different way than he talked to Timothy. Let's go back to verses 4 and 5. To Titus, my son, so here he also calls him a son, other times he calls him a brother, mine own son after the common faith, and that's interesting. And we're going to discuss that a little more next week as we continue with the book of Titus, because he doesn't say that to Timothy. That's an interesting statement. My own son after the common faith. Now, I'm just going to again give you interpretation, then you can talk to these other men and say, Galen doesn't know what he's talking about, but that's all right. Okay? I'll give my opinion anyways next week. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to Titus, notice, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. So he's very clear on what he knows Titus is going to do. I'm going to send you, thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. So there's things not right. I know I can send you, Titus, and you're to set those things in order. That then a very specific thing, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed him. So again, if you think in a military term, it would be like, again, the general saying to the major, there's a problem in these units, and I'm sending out, and you better set them in order because before they go into battle. Well, in the same sense, he's telling Titus, I'm going to do this. Now, I don't think he could have sent Timothy to Crete. Now, I'm not, if I was Tracy or Keith and them, they could put this wonderful board up there and show you exactly where Crete is, okay? But I'm just going to tell you, it's a island of Greece, owned by Greece. It's in the southern Aegean Sea, and it was a place where two individuals were very prominent, gods, small g, of Zeus and Poseidon, which is an older brother, they said, of Zeus. Supposedly, both were born there, all right? So anyways, these Cretans, and so it's a very important place in Greece, as you see. It's leading into the gateway of the Aegean Sea, and it's right off the coast of the mainland of Greece, and it's part of Greece. But now notice what about these Grecians. That's why I don't think he could have sent Timothy there. Because look at verse 12, talking about these Grecians. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own. Now he's talking about someone, not Paul, but someone who was a prophet of them under their old gods, I assume. And notice what he says, the Grecians are always what? Evil beasts. And instead of slow bellies, what would we say? Lazy gluttons? Okay, yes. So, wow, I don't think he could have sent, he sent Timothy to be the leader of Ephesus. And when Ephesus, they cried. They loved Paul so much and they didn't want to leave. But so Timothy, I love him and he's learned to be dependable. I can't send him to these people. They'll just gobble him up and it won't be good, okay? But with Titus, I don't have a problem. He's robust, he's outgoing, and he'll do it. So I love that. Now notice what he tells them. I only went to that verse. But not only did he set things in order as we close today, and I almost got it all done. That's amazing. I usually don't do that. Let's read 9 through 13 very carefully here as we close. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. So the same problem exists, that there's those of the circumcision, and these are actually lots of times believers who believed in Christ, but wanted to take people back to the law of Moses and back to the, to Christ's earthly ministry. So, and notice what he tells Titus, you're going to do, whose mouths must be stopped. That's why he needed Titus. Who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they are not for filthy lucre, say. They're teaching for money. That's all filthy lucre, man. And we have many doing today. That's the prosperity teachers. When Paul says we are content if we what? Only have food and clothing, not even a lodging. But these prosperity teachers who are doing it for money. They're not getting it from God, is that? They're getting it for other people who foolishly don't see the word of God rightly divided, who give them that money, that they can have these mansions and so forth. One of them said, a prophet said, the Grecians are always liars, evil beasts, slow. This witness is true, he tells Titus. Therefore, what does he tell Titus? See, I don't think he'd have said this to Timothy. Therefore, do what? Rebuke them, but how? Sharply. Timothy, more loving, tender, growing up with wonderful, loving mothers and grandmothers, okay, who gave him a lot of love. But with Timothy, with Titus, I want you to rebuke them. I need you, Titus, to do this. Love them both. They're both dependable, both reliers. He's confident at the end of ministry. One needs more encouragement. One's a major. One's a colonel. One is just a first lieutenant going out into battle in the first time. So let's continue. That sound in the faith, Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure of things are pure. Unto the pure all things are pure. Excuse me, but unto that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work. Retrobate. But as we close, I just want you to see these two men are so important to Paul. They're both very young men. Barnabas and Cyrus may have been old. That's another reason. But he doesn't write them. But he's going to leave the ministry to these two young men. Both dependable, as we close. Both reliable. But one is a little timid, shy. The other is very outgoing. He talks to them both differently. Titus is the major. Timothy would be that first lieutenant going into his first battle. Father, we just thank you and praise you in your precious name. This word is so wonderful. But to those who might be listening, if they could just see the wonderful truth that Paul had this special revelation from Christ, the revelation of the mystery, the dispensation of the grace of God given only to Paul and Paul alone with this wonderful message for today. But if anybody out there is not saved, all you have to do is put your trust in the completed work of Christ. We are justified freely by God's grace. How? Through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Saved by grace through redemption that Christ provided for us. Put your faith in what Christ did and nothing else. In this moment, you can have eternal life. We just thank you and praise you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.